Protocols of the Meetings of the Learned Elders of Zion. Protocol Number 10. Preparing for Power. 1. Today, I begin with a repetition of what I said before, and I beg you bear in mind that governments and people are content in the political with outside appearances. And how, indeed, are the goyim to perceive the underlying meaning of things, when their representatives give the best of their energies to enjoying themselves? For our policy, it is of the greatest importance to take cognizance of this detail. It will be of assistance to us when we come to consider the division of authority of property, of the dwelling, of taxation, the idea of concealed taxes, of the reflex force of the laws. All these questions are such as ought not to be touched upon directly and openly before the people. In cases where it is indispensable to touch upon them, they must not be categorically named. It must merely be declared, without detailed exposition, that the principles of contemporary law are acknowledged by us. The reason of keeping silence in this respect is that by not naming a principle, we leave ourselves freedom of action to drop this or that out of it without attracting notice. If they were all categorically named, they would all appear to have been already given. 2. The mob cherishes a special affection and respect for the geniuses of political power, and accepts all their deeds of violence with the admiring response, "Rascally, well, yes, it is rascally, but it's clever. A trick, if you like, but how craftily played, how magnificently done, what impudent audacity." Our goal, world power. 3. We count upon attracting all nations to the task of erecting the new fundamental structure, the project for which has been drawn up by us. This is why, before everything, it is indispensable for us to arm ourselves and to store up in ourselves that absolutely reckless audacity and irresistible might of the spirit, which in the person of our active workers will break down all hindrances on our way. 4. When we have accomplished our coup d'etat, we shall say then to the various peoples, "Everything has gone terribly badly, all have been worn out with suffering. We are destroying the causes of your torment, nationalities, frontiers, differences of coinages. You are at liberty, of course, to pronounce sentence upon us, but can it possibly be a just one, if it is confirmed by you before you make any trial of what we are offering you? Then will the mob exalt us, and bear us up in their hands, in a unanimous triumph of hopes and expectations. Voting, which we have made the instrument, which will set us on the throne of the world, by teaching even the very smallest units of members of the human race to vote by means of meetings and agreements, by groups, will then have served its purposes, and will play its part, then for the last time by a unanimity of desire to make close acquaintance with us before condemning us. 5. To secure this, we must have everybody vote without distinction of classes and qualifications in order to establish an absolute majority which cannot be got from the educated propertied classes. In this way, by inculcating in all a sense of self-importance, we shall destroy among the goyim the importance of the family and its educational value, and remove the possibility of individual minds splitting off, for the mob, handled by us, will not let them come to the front, nor even give them a hearing. It is accustomed to listen to us only who pay it for obedience and attention. In this way we shall create a blind, mighty force, which will never be in a position to move, in any direction without the guidance of our agents, set at its head by us as leaders of the mob. The people will submit to this regime, because it will know that upon these leaders will depend its earnings, gratifications, and the receipt of all kinds of benefits. 6. A scheme of government should come ready-made from one brain, because it will never be clinched firmly if it is allowed to be split into fractional parts in the minds of many. It is allowable, therefore, for us to have cognizance of the scheme of action, but not to discuss it lest we disturb its artfulness, the interdependence of its component parts, the practical force of the secret meaning of each clause. To discuss and make alterations in a labor of this kind, by means of numerous votings, is to impress upon it the stamp of all ratiocinations and misunderstandings, which have failed to penetrate the depth and nexus of its plottings. We want our schemes to be forcible and suitably concocted. Therefore, we ought not to fling the work of genius of our guide to the fangs of the mob, or even of a select company. 7. These schemes will not turn existing institutions upside down just yet. They will only effect changes in their economy, and consequently, in the whole combined movement of their progress, which will thus be directed along the paths laid down in our schemes. Poison of liberalism. 8. Under various names, there exists in all countries approximately one and the same thing. Representation, ministry, senate, state council, legislative and executive corps. I need not explain to you the mechanism of the relation of these institutions to one another, because you are aware of all that. Only take note of the fact that each of the above-named institutions corresponds to some important function of the state, and I would beg you to remark that the word important I apply not to the institution, but to the function. Consequently, it is not the institutions which are important, but their functions. These institutions have divided up among themselves all the functions of government, administrative, legislative, executive, wherefore they have come to operate as do the organs in the human body. If we injure one part in the machinery of state, the state falls sick, like a human body, and will die. 9. When we introduced into the state organism the poison of liberalism, its whole political complexion underwent a change. States have been seized with a mortal illness, blood poisoning. All that remains is to await the end of their death agony. 10. Liberalism produced constitutional states, which took the place of what was the only safeguard of the goyim, namely, despotism, and a constitution, as you well know, is nothing else but a school of discords, misunderstandings, quarrels, disagreements, fruitless party agitations, party whims. In a word, a school of everything that serves to destroy the personality of state activity. The Tribune of the Talkerics has, no less effectively than the press, condemned the rulers to inactivity and impotence, and thereby rendered them useless and superfluous, for which reason indeed, they have been in many countries deposed. Then it was that the era of republics became possible of realization, and then it was that we replaced the ruler by a caricature of the government, by a president taken from the mob, from the midst of our puppet creatures, or slaves. This was the foundation of the mine, which we have laid under the Goy people, I should rather say, under the Goy peoples. We name presidents. 11. In the near future, we shall establish the responsibility of presidents. 12. By that time, we shall be in a position to disregard forms, in carrying through matters, for which our impersonal puppet will be responsible. What do we care, if the ranks of those striving for power should be thinned, if there should arise a deadlock, from the impossibility of finding presidents, a deadlock which will finally disorganize the country? 13. In order that our scheme may produce this result, we shall arrange elections in favor of such presidents as have in their past some dark, undiscovered stain, some Panama or other. Then they will be trustworthy agents for the accomplishment of our plans, out of fear of revelations, and from the natural desire of everyone who has attained power, namely, the retention of the privileges, advantages and honor connected with the office of president. The Chamber of Deputies will provide cover for, will protect, will elect presidents, but we shall take from it the right to propose new, or make changes in existing laws, for this right will be given by us, to the responsible president, a puppet in our hands. Naturally, the authority of the presidents will then become a target for every possible form of attack, but we shall provide him with a means of self-defense in the right of an appeal to the people for the decision of the people over the heads of their representatives, that is to say, an appeal to that sublime slave of ours, the majority of the mob. Independently of this, we shall invest the president with the right of declaring a state of war. We shall justify this last right on the ground that the president, as chief of the whole army of the country, must have it at his disposal, in case of need for the defense of the new Republican Constitution, the right to defend, which will belong to him, as the responsible representative of this Constitution. 14. It is easy to understand them in these conditions. The key of the shrine will lie in our hands, and no one outside ourselves will any longer direct the force of legislation. 15. Besides this, we shall, with the introduction of the new Republican Constitution, take from the chamber the right of interpolation on government measures, on the pretext of preserving political secrecy, and, further, we shall, by the new Constitution, reduce the number of representatives to a minimum, thereby proportionately reducing political passions and the passion for politics. If, however, they should, which is hardly to be expected, burst into flame, even in this minimum, we shall nullify them by a stirring appeal and a reference to the majority of the whole people. Upon the president will depend the appointment of presidents and vice presidents of the chamber and the senate instead of constant sessions of parliaments. We shall reduce their sittings to a few months. Moreover, the president, as chief of the executive power, will have the right to summon and dissolve parliament, and, in the latter case, to prolong the time for the appointment of a new parliamentary assembly. But in order that the consequences of all these acts, which in substance are illegal, should not, prematurely for our plans, upon the responsibility established by use of the president, we shall instigate ministers and other officials of the higher administration about the president to evade his dispositions by taking measures of their own, for doing which they will be made the scapegoats in his place. This part we especially recommend to be given to be played by the Senate, the Council of State, or the Council of Ministers, but not to an individual official. 16. The President will, at our discretion, interpret the sense of such of the existing laws as admit of various interpretation. He will further annul them when we indicate to him the necessity to do so, Besides this, he will have the right to propose temporary laws and even new departures in the government constitutional working, the pretext, both, for the one and the other being the requirements for the supreme welfare of the state. We shall destroy. 17. By such measure, we shall obtain the power of destroying little by little, step by step, all that at the outset, when we enter on our rights, we are compelled to introduce into the constitutions of states, to prepare for the transition to an imperceptible abolition of every kind of constitution, and then the time has come to turn every form of government into our despotism. 18. The recognition of our despot may also come before the destruction of the Constitution. The moment for this recognition will come when the peoples, utterly wearied by the irregularities and incompetence, a matter which we shall arrange for, of their rulers, will clamor, "Away with them, and give us one king, over all the earth, who will unite us, and annihilate the causes of disorders, frontiers, nationalities, religions, state debts, who will give us peace and quiet, which we cannot find under our rulers and representatives." 19. But you yourselves perfectly well know that to produce the possibility of the expression of such wishes by all the nations, it is indispensable to trouble in all countries the people's relations with their governments, so as to utterly exhaust humanity with dissension, hatred, struggle, envy, and even by the use of torture, by starvation, by the inoculation of diseases, by want, so that the goyim see no other issue than to take refuge in our complete sovereignty, in money and in all else. 20. But if we give the nations of the world a breathing space, the moment we long for is hardly likely ever to arrive.